بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 40th session, reading from some of the commentaries related to العقيدة الطحاوية مع الإمام أبو جعفر أحمد بن محمد بن سلامة الطحاوي رحمه الله. And in tonight's session, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to complete the remaining two parts of the 68th statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi. يعني الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله, he has divided the statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi into six parts. Last week we covered four of those six parts, and tonight inshallah we're going to cover the final two, بإذن الله تعالى. Before doing so, we're going to look at some of the points that we covered last week from the question and study guide for lecture number 39. First question being, mention the first part of six parts, the first part of the 68th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah, and this statement or this first part is numbered as 146 in the Arabic explanation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. And it's numbered as 145 in the English translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan's commentary. First part of the 68th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Now, Fadl Abdul Wali.
From the womb of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should not be in the hellfire forever if they die upon worshiping Allah, the God of Al-Tahawi.
Now, يعني the أهل الكبائر, meaning the people who have committed يعني the major sins, the graver, more serious sins from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be in the hellfire, but they will not remain in the hellfire eternally if they have died upon التوحيد. يعني إذا ماتوا وهم موحدون, they died upon التوحيد. And here, يعني, as we mentioned last week, it's very, very important to recognize the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the people who will not remain in the hellfire, like other people who remain forever in the hellfire. It is a favor from Allah that some people will come out of the hellfire, but with the condition that they died upon Tawheed. So Tawheed is the critical factor that a person has to realize its importance, learn it well, understand it, and attach yourself to what it requires. Second question, how does Sheikh Salih Fawzan define Al-Kabair? Yani Al-Kabair, Kabair is the plural of Kabira. How does he define Al-Kabair and its Dabit? Yani the guideline for determining what comes under this definition. Now, Zaki. Major sins, when we're talking about kabair, obviously we are excluding shirk. Okay, obviously we're saying yani other than shirk. But he said that the major sins are those sins which are less than shirk, and they are finished. They are okay, more serious than minor. In other words, he's saying that yani when we say kabair, we're excluding from shirk. Okay, anything that's less than shirk, but it's greater than what would be considered saghair. Saghair means those which are lesser than the greater sins. Then the Shaykh mentions the dhabit, the guideline, yani which clarifies how we determine what actually is a kabira, so that we can distinguish it from a saghira. The dhabit, now. Nasir.
Yeah. It's any sin that there's a prescribed punishment for, Allah's anger is mentioned, or his curse is mentioned, or the fire is mentioned, or the Prophet he frees himself from that person who does it.
Frees himself from the person who does it. What does it mean he frees himself from the person who does it? Anybody? Somebody else? Now. ليس منا. Okay. But what does that mean? يعني he frees himself. ليس منا. What does that? And is it clear to everybody what that means? He frees himself from them? Is that clear? If it's clear, alhamdulillah. I mean, that's how we say it, but what does it really mean? That's the point. And we need to understand. And he clears himself, he frees himself. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes a statement which indicates that he has nothing to do with those people. They are not with me. I am not with them. He's declaring himself to be separate from them. He's separating them from himself and from the yani Muslims. So that's a very dangerous, a very serious matter that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about a person who does a certain act, he's not one of us. And this doesn't mean that he became a kafir. But it's serious for him to say that, to declare that this person is not one of us. So that's the point that a person has to pay attention to. Okay, so, and he checks out if Al-Ghazan says then that the dhabit, the guideline, is that yani every sin, any sin, that has a prescribed punishment in the Sharia, in this world, that there's a prescribed punishment fixed in the Sharia for that sin, or in the next life, there's the threat of the hellfire, or the ghadab, the anger or wrath of Allah, or the la'na of Allah, yani the curse of Allah. Meaning, curse of Allah means what? La'na. No. Okay, that's the, yeah, a little bit more specific though. A little bit more specific. That wasn't one of the questions, by the way. But just, yani, no. The la'na of Allah specifically means al-bu'ud an rahmatillah. That's exactly what it means. It means that a person will be distanced, far removed from the rahmah of Allah. So this is also very serious, and I wish that we had some time to talk about this particular matter, al-la'n, but we don't have that time now. In any case, and this is how the Shaykh has described it. I want to just make a note here that al-Imam Ibn Abil Izz, and I keep referring back to his commentary sometimes just because it's very lengthy. We don't have time to read it, but sometimes there's some points that we need to pay attention to. It is available. Yani it's available, PDF is available in Arabic and also available in English. And Imam Ibn Abil Izz mentions 10 sayings concerning the kaba'ir. Some of them are what some of the scholars said are the number. How many are the kaba'ir? How many are there? So various scholars had different views. And some of them said, what is a kaba'ir? What is this dhabit? And they had different views. And he mentioned 10 sayings related to the kaba'ir. I want to quickly just enumerate them. Whoever wants to go back, you can go back to the Arabic or you can go back to the English and see what he said. So one of them is the opinion that Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentions, the opinion of most of the scholars of Sunnah. He also said, in terms of the number of kaba'ir, some scholars said there are 7. And some scholars said there are 17. And some scholars said they are closer to 70. Al-Imam al-Zahabi wrote a book, Al-Kaba'ir, which is the famous book about Al-Kaba'ir. He numbered, he mentioned 70, yani, of the greater sins that are from the Kaba'ir. It's even reported from Ibn Abbas that he said it's closer to 700. So those are 3 sayings, that they are 7, 17, or 70. There's also other sayings from the scholars of the people of Sunnah who said that the Kaba'ir is whatever yani prevents a person from ma'arifa billahi, from knowing Allah. That's a major sin. Some scholars said that the kabira is that which causes a person to lose yani property and life. Causes a person to lose. It causes the loss of property, wealth, and life. Some scholars said that it's yani nisba or idafa, yani meaning the kabira in comparison to something that's less than it is called a kabir. In comparison. Bin nisbat ila hadha. It is greater. And the other is lesser. That's an opinion. Other scholars said that the kabira, yani is not known. We don't know what is the kabira. We haven't been informed. Or that it's like Laylatul Qadr. Yani the knowledge was taken away. Another opinion of the scholars that Al-Imam Ibn Abd al-Izz mentions is that the kabira is every sin that Allah has, everything that Allah has prohibited is a kabira. And finally, some scholars said that the kabira is every sin that the legislations, the laws of the earlier prophets agreed upon that that is, yani, a sin. Whatever they agreed that that's a sin, that's a kabira. All of these opinions, Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Izz rejects. And he says the correct opinion is what we just mentioned, what Shaykh Salih Fawzan mentioned, and that is, that it's that which entails a punishment in this life, yani prescribed punishment, hudud, in the sharia of Allah, or punishment in the next life, the hellfire, the la'an of Allah, the ghadab of Allah, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declaring himself to be free from the one who commits it. So this is just a note, and the benefit of this note, yani why does Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Izz mention all of these sayings? So that a person can be aware that there are different views about these things, and to know what is the correct view from amongst them. To know that there are different views, there are differences of opinion, but what is more correct? Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah has a long discussion concerning this, in which he picks this view as being the most correct one, and why it's superior to the other views, and why those are defective, and they are not inclusive. But any for another time, inshallah. Tayyib. Back to our question and study guide from last week. Question number 3, what is intended by describing the one who commits the kabira, any singular of kabaya? What is intended by describing the one who commits the kabira with iman muqayyad? Iman muqayyad. What is the, yani, intended? What is intended by this description? That this person, yani, doesn't have al-iman al-mutlaq, but we describe him with al-iman al-muqayyad. What is intended by this? This is something that actually we mentioned more than one time. Sharif?
That the believer has a limited, restricted iman.
Okay, limited or restricted iman. And how? What does, in practice, what does that look like?
He's a believer by faith, a sinner.
His iman is restricted. He is a mu'min because of he has iman. But at the same time, his iman is restricted because he is also a fasiq, because of his sin. So this is what is intended by iman, yani muqayyad. Yani his iman is limited, it's restricted because of his sins. So he is a mu'min. We don't say he's out of Islam, he is a mu'min. But his iman is not complete and perfect, it's restricted because of his other description of being a fasiq due to the major sins. Question number 4, it should not be said that the one who commits the kabira has complete iman, as is the view of who? Now, Murji'ah say that he is a mu'min kamil al-iman. We should not say this, that he is, yani, the person who commits major sins, that he has, his iman is complete and perfect. It's obviously defective, nor should it be said that he is born completely out of Islam, as is the view of
Khawarij
and the Mu'tazila, yani. And even if they differ, but basically they both say the person has gone out of Islam. And these are, yani, error. This is an error. Question number 5. The madhab of Ahl Sunnah is that the one who commits the kabira, yani, other than shirk, what do we say about this person who commits the kabira other than shirk or less than shirk? Now, he's a mu'min, but his iman is naqis, it's defective, it's not complete and perfect. Yani mu'min, but his iman is defective. We don't say that he is a kafir, and we don't say that he has complete iman. We say that he is a mu'min, but his iman is defective, it's incomplete. Question number 6. Mention the second part of the 68th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. The second statement, as Sheikh Salih Fawzan has numbered as 147, and in the English translation, 146. What is the second statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi? Naam, Ahmed. And he's saying that these people, yani the people who committed the kabair from the Ummah of Muhammad, even if they will not remain in the hellfire. And here in this part of the same, he's saying, even if they didn't repent from those major sins. Naam.
بعد أن نقول الله تعالى عارفين مؤمنين.
يعني when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as they, when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they meet him, يعني the expression of Imam al-Tahawi, arifina, mu'minina, yani meaning those who know Allah and they are believers in Allah. And some of the copies of al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, the word mu'minina is not there, it's just arifina, and Imam Ibn Abdul is. And he commented on that, that just saying that they are those who know Allah is, and he's not correct. And then he said,
وَهُمْ فِي مَشِئَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَحُكْمِهِ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ غَفَرَ لَهُمْ وَعَفَى عَنْهُمْ بِفَضْلِهِ كَمَا ذَكَرَ
نعم. Okay.
Keep going.
Good.
كَمَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ.
Yeah, so he's saying that these people who died from the Ummah of Muhammad, having committed major sins that they did not repent from, and they meet Allah, yani upon tawheed, yani that, which is the more clear expression that should come here, they meet Allah upon tawheed. He said that these people, they will be subject to the mashiyah of Allah and His hukm. Yani they will be subject to Allah's will. He will do what He wills. He will punish them if He wills, and He will pardon them if He wills. But here, Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentions the first part. He said He will forgive them, or He will pardon them based on His fadl, His favor and His bounty, as mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will not forgive shirk, yani a person who dies upon shirk, but He will forgive everything or anything less than that to whomever He wills. And He ended that part of the statement by saying that if Allah wills, He will punish them in the fire, yani bi adlihi. So He will forgive them, yani by His fadl. He will pardon them due to His favor. Yani that's a favor that He doesn't have to do. Or He will punish them by His adl. Yani that is what they justly deserve. Question number 7. Instead of the author's statement, knowing believers. Yani meaning, instead of what the author said, that they will yani not remain in the hellfire, as long as yani they, when they meet Allah, they are arifina, knowing Allah, mu'minina, believing in Allah. Instead of the author's statement, known believers, what wording does Shaykh Salih Fazana suggest and why? Instead of that wording, what does he suggest and why? Naam, fadl, fadl. Naam, wahideen. He said that better than to say arifina or mu'minina, it's better to say that they meet Allah as muwahideen, yani people upon tawheed. That is the saving factor, that a person dies upon tawheed in spite of their sins. Naam. And the reason why he said that is because what? Because the expression of Al-Imam al-Tahawi is ambiguous. Fi ijmal. He said it fi ijmal. It's not really clear, yani what is intended by that. It's not clear that the saving factor, that the critical factor, is that a person dies upon tawheed. Question number 8. Mention the third part of the 68th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, which is numbered as 148 in Sheikh Salih Fawzan's commentary and 147 in English translation. The third part of the 68th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. Anybody? Third part of the statement. Naam, fadl.
أو بشفاعة الشيخ من أهل طاعته ويبعثهم إلى جنته.
طيب. So that's actually the third and fourth part of the statement of Imam al-Tahawi, no problem. He said then he will remove them, yani from the hellfire, based upon his rahmah or by the intercession of those who he allows to intercede. من أهل طاعته. Yani those who he allows to intercede from the people who are obedient to him. From the people who are obedient to him. Mention the people of shafa'ah, intercession. Or mention the people who as shafa'ah, intercession, will not be allowed for. Fadl Abdul Wali.
لا من المكاذبين ولا من المشركين ولا من المنافقين.
طيب. أما المكاذبين, I didn't have that in my book. I don't know if there's a different yani manuscript, but actually the Sheikh mentioned three categories of people. The first of them is people who will not be allowed intercession are the kafir, kafirun, yani the disbelievers. And then the second of them is what he mentioned. The second and third of them are the mushrikeen, and the munafiqeen. And he said the disbeliever and the mushrik and the munafiq, there will be no chance of intercession for them. Last question, mention the fourth part of the 68 statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi and what happens before it. The fourth statement he read already, then yani he will admit them into his Jannah. Then he will admit them into his Jannah. And what happens before the admission of them into Jannah, and the people will be taken out of the hellfire? Na'am, fadla. Okay, they will blow out the fire, yani in a condition that they will be burnt from the fire like charcoal. Na'am, and then?
They will later be cast into the river of life, and their bodies and flesh will sprout like plants.
Okay, so then they will be thrown in the yani river of life, yani which life will be given back to them, and their bodies and their flesh yani will sprout, and then? So after they are cleansed and purified, meaning from the sins due to which they were punished in the hellfire. So the hellfire is a cleansing process for the people who committed those sins so that they could be prepared to enter the paradise. Then they will be given permission to enter the paradise and they will enter it. These are some of the points that we mentioned last week. Allahu musta'an. The last two points that remain yani from the 68th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, yani which has been numbered as 5 and 6. So Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he says, this is numbered as 150, Sheikh Salih Fawzan's commentary, or 149 in the English translation. وَذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى تَوَلَّى أَحْلَ مَعْرِفَتِهِ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْهُمْ فِي الدَّارَيْنِ كَأَهْلِ نُكْرَتِهِ الَّذِينَ خَابُوا مِنْ هِدَايَتِهِ وَلَمْ يَنَالُوا مِنْ وَلَايَتِهِ any meaning, ذَلِكَ is referring back to the Ahlul Kabair, the people who committed major sins from the Ummah of Muhammad, who died without repenting, and them being punished in the hellfire for some time and then coming out. Them being brought out of the hellfire. ذَلِكَ yani they are being brought out of the fire بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى تَوَلَّى أَهْلُ مَعْرِفَتِهِ because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established this relationship yani of walaya. تَوَلَّى أَهْلَ مَعْرِفَتِهِ he has this relation of walaya, yani a relation of nearness to Allah that leads to the love of Allah. All of it due to what? Yani what is it that brings a person near to Allah such that Allah loves them? Obedience to Allah. Obedience to Allah. In the hadith of Wali, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah said that there's nothing that brings my servant near to me, more beloved to me than doing the obligatory deeds. وَلَا يَزَالُ يَتَقَرُّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ and he continues to get near to me by the voluntary deeds. حَتَّى أُحِبَّ until I love him. So this is the relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored the people of obedience with. That due to their obedience, they became near to Allah. And the nearer they became to Allah, they became near enough such that Allah loved them. Such that Allah loves them, to the end of the hadith. So here, Al-Imam al-Tahawi is saying, them being the people of yani al-Kabair, the people who committed major sins from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will be thrown in the fire and who will come out of it, this is because Allah has established this relation with the Ahlu wa Ahla ma'arifatihi, the people who knew him, the people who acknowledge him, who didn't deny him, meaning the people of Tawheed, the people of the people of Iman and Islam. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلُهُمْ فِي الدَّارَيْنِ and he didn't make them yani the people of ma'arifatihi, he didn't make them equal to the people of nukratihi, the people who have denied him. He didn't make them equal in the two worlds. in the life of this world, the dunya, nor in the next life, in the akhirah. He didn't make them equal with the people who denied him. Those who khabu min hidayatihi walam yanalu min walayatihi. Yani those who failed to attain his guidance, who failed to travel on the path, yani of right guidance, and who failed to obtain or to achieve or to receive his walaya. And if they failed to achieve it because they didn't travel the path of guidance that the Prophet ﷺ brought, and they were not obedient to Allah. So they didn't get his hidayah, which means they were off the path, and as a result they didn't get his walaya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make the people of obedience, the people of iman and taqwa, He doesn't make them equal or the same as the people of disbelief, of kufr and shirk and disobedience. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, Allah the Most High, and he mentions several ayats, and in the previous session and the previous point he mentions other ayats or some of the same ones and different ones. He says here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Jathiyah, 45th Surah, 21st ayat, أَحَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ. Do they imagine, do they think, any those who commit evil deeds, أَنَّ جَعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that we will make them equal or like the people of iman and the people who do righteous deeds? Do the people who commit evil think that Allah is going to make them equal? Not in this life, nor in the next life. And also the saying of Allah, the Most High, from Surah Sa'd, 30th Surah, 28th Ayat, أَمْ نَجَعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. And Allah is saying, shall we make the people of taqwa, people of obedience and righteousness, equal like the wicked people of sin and corruption and wrongdoing? No way. The Shaykh says in other ayats like this, أَلَّتِي تَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُصَوِّي بين أهل طاعته وأهل معصيته. And these ayats and other similar ayats point to the fact, or make clear, indicate that Allah doesn't treat equally. He doesn't make equal the people of obedience to Him and the people of disobedience. He doesn't make equal the people of iman and the people of kufr. بل يجازي كلا بعمله. Rather, Allah rewards every person according to his deeds, according to his actions. And people will be rewarded according to their actions. The Shaykh here repeats the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, where he says that he didn't make them, yani, to be equal, yani the people of obedience or the people of ma'rifah, he didn't make them to be equal with the people of nuqra, the people who deny him, the disbelievers and the wrongdoers. Yani who have failed to achieve, to accept his guidance, and who have failed to achieve his walaya. Yani his, this relationship of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he loves the person and protects them and supports them and aids them in a system. Shaykh says, rather he has mayyaza baynahum subhanahu fi dunya wal akhirah. Mayyaza, yani he has made a distinction, a clear distinction between these two groups of people. He has made a clear distinction between them in this world, and he has also made a distinction between them, a clear distinction in the next life. Allahu musta'an. I got it. Naam, Allahu musta'an. The Shaykh says he has made a distinction between them in this world and the next life. He has distinguished between them in this world in five things. Sifatihim, yani their characteristics or descriptions or qualities. Wa'alamatihim, and their distinguishing features, the things that distinguish them from others. Wa'af'alihim, and their actions. Yani the actions of the people of iman are different than the actions of the people of kufr. So the actions of the awliya of Allah are not, yani laysat af'al awliya Allah wa ahli ta'a مثل أفعال أعداء الله. Yani the people, the awliya of Allah, the people of iman and taqwa, the people of obedience, their actions are not like the actions of the enemies of Allah. Nor their speech, nor their tasarrufat, yani their behavior or their conduct, are not the same. The Shaykh says, look at the people now. And he compare the people in terms of what? Their qualities and characteristics and their actions and their speech and their manners and their conduct and their behavior. Look at the people now. Look at the conduct and behavior. Look at the conduct of the people of taqwa and the people of iman. And look at the conduct and the behavior of the people of fisq, yani of moral people, who have, the immoral people, and the asin and the sinful people. Compare, yani compare their conduct and their behavior and their actions and their speech and their qualities and characteristics. Look at the conduct and behavior of the kuffar and the mulhideen, yani the disbelievers and the heretics, yani the people who apostated, who went out of Islam. This is the distinction that Allah has made between the people of Iman and the people of Kufr in this world. And in the next life, similarly, He has made a distinction. Allah has made a distinction between these people. A clear distinction. So the people of Iman and Taqwa and obedience, He said He has honored them with His Jannah. And the people, and the other people, the people of Kufr and disobedience, He has punished them with His fire and the punishment that is due to them based on their actions. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim. He's Hakim, meaning He puts things in their proper places. So He doesn't place His rahmah except upon those who are deserving of it, and He doesn't give His adab, His punishment, except to those who are deserving of it. Except to those who are deserving of it. So this is from the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everything is put in its proper place. So the rahmah of Allah is for those who are obedient to Him, the people of Iman and Taqwa, and the punishment of Allah are for the disbelievers and the disobedient. Here the Shaykh makes a comment concerning the statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi, where he said in this statement, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَلَّ أَهْلَ مَعْرِفَتِهِ. And in this, the people coming out of the hellfire is due to Allah having this relation with the people of ma'arifa. Shaykh says, his statement, ahlu ma'arifatihi, the people who know him, fihi qusur wa iham anna al-iman huwa mujarrad al-ma'arifa. He said, this statement, fihi qusur, meaning, any difference between qusur and taqsir. Taqsir means a person is able to do something, but they fail to. They don't make the effort. Taqsir. Qusur means that a person is incapable of doing something. Yani this expression is incapable of expressing what is needed here, what is intended, what is meant here. Yani that the people of Ma'arifa, yani he said this expression is yani not sufficient. It's not yani clear. And it also gives the person the false impression that Iman is simply Ma'arifa, is simply knowing Allah. As is the saying of the extremists of the Murji'ah, the Jahmiyyah. So if Al-Imam al-Tahawi, if the author had said, أَهْلُ طَاعَتِهِ لَكَانَ أَحْسَنْ وَأَوْدَى, and had he used a clearer expression, and instead of أَهْلُ مَعْرِفَةِ, if he had said أَهْلُ طَاعَتِهِ, this would have been better, and it would have been clearer. And clarity is important, because sometimes people take these expressions, and they twist it to some other meaning that many obviously is not intended by Imam Tahawi, because in the beginning of this statement he mentions what? The people of Tawheed. And that's what's really intended here. The last part of this statement of Imam Tahawi's 68th statement, Allahumma ya waliy al-Islam wa ahlihi thabbitna ala al-Islam hatta nalqaka bihi. O Allah, ya waliy al-Islam. Yani Imam Tahawi is saying, O Allah, the wali of Islam, and the wali of the people of Islam. Yani the wali, meaning the one who yani helps and supports and protects and guides. Yani in all of those things that are the benefits of al-walaya. O Allah, the wali of Islam and its people, ثَبِّتْنَا, make us firm upon Islam, حَتَّى نَلْقَاكَ بِهِ, until yani we reach you with this Islam. Yani that until we reach you in a condition of submission upon Tawheed. Al-Imam al-Tahawi, Al-Imam Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he says, هذا من أجمل كلام المصنف. Yarhamuhullah. And this is from the most beautiful of the speech of the author. May Allah have mercy upon him. This is from the most beautiful of the speech of the author. Why? أنه لما ذكر هذه المسائل العظيمة الخطيرة سأل الله التثبيت ألا يضله الله مع أصحاب هذه الضلالات وأصحاب هذه المقالات الضالة. يعني what is the point? Why is this speech so beautiful? Sheikh Talib Fawzan says, because when he mentioned any these important, dangerous issues that we have been talking about, Iman and the Kabair and Tawheed, after mentioning these things, understanding the danger of every person, the danger that they are in, if they slip and go astray, he asks Allah for a tathbeet, to remain firm. Defining that as being what? That Allah does not cause him to go astray with the people who are upon this dalalat, yani these misguidance, and the people who are saying these misguided statements. And he's asking Allah to keep us firm so that we don't be with those people who have deviated like this. فهذا من الفقه والحكمة أن الإنسان لا يغتر بعلمه. Yani, so this is something that indicates a person has fiqh, has fahm, understanding of Islam. And that a person has hikmah. And that a person has hikmah, that they understand how to apply the knowledge that they have. That a person is applying that knowledge in a proper way. This, yani, statement, asking for tathbeet at this point in the discussion, realizing how important it is that Allah keep us firm. If He didn't make us steadfast, we will go straight like those people that we're talking about here who have strayed. He said this is from al-fiqh and al-hikmah, that a person is not deluded by his knowledge. That a person doesn't imagine. Here's an Imam al-Tahawi. He's not deluded by his knowledge. That he has so much knowledge. That he has piety. That he's worshipping Allah. He's not deluded by that. Because he knows the affairs with Allah. That the hearts of the human beings are between two of the fingers of Ar-Rahman, and he turns them wherever he wills. That a person is not deceived, is not deluded by the knowledge, not saying, I am a person who knows Tawheed, or I am a person who knows the Aqeedah, and there is no danger upon me, I'm safe. هذا غرور. This is delusion. This is delusion. A person who says this is deluded. بَلْ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَخَافْ مِنْ سُوءِ الْخَاتِمَةِ وَالضَّلَالِ. Rather, every person must fear an evil ending. Whatever you're upon now, that doesn't mean that's what you're going to end upon. Person has to fear an evil ending and misguidance in the end of their life. Fear being deceived or misled or deluded by the people of misguidance. Sheikh says, how many of the people who are mu'tadil, yani who are balanced, who are moderate, upon the straight path, who went astray, especially at the time of severe trials and fitna. And then he mentions a statement which is from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the hadith is mentioned in the footnote, the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. He says that a man reaches the morning as a Muslim, and he reaches the evening as a kafir. Or a man reaches the evening as a mu'min, and he reaches the morning as a kafir. And he sells his deen for something, some small matter of this, of the world. And this has been authentically narrated in the hadith, just like that. And the hadith is in the footnote where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya muqallib al-kulub thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O the one who turns the hearts, make my heart firm upon your deen. And we said, O Messenger of Allah, do you fear, yani, for us, that something's going to happen to us? After we have believed in you, and we have believed in what you have come with? And he said, yes, I fear for you. Indeed, the hearts are between two fingers of the fingers of Allah. He turns them however He wills. Hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi ibn Majah and Hakim. And Al-Hakim declared to be Sahih, and Al-Dhahabi agreed with him, and Tirmidhi said the hadith is Hasan. A similar narration is reported by Al-Imam Muslim from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that he heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, إن قلوب بني آدم كلها بين إصبعين من أصابع الرحمن. That the hearts of the children of Adam, the human beings, all of them are between two of the fingers of Ar-Rahman, like one heart, and he turns them however he wills, or wherever he wills. Then the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, and these both of these supplications should be memorized. Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. O the one who turns the hearts, turn our hearts towards obedience to you. Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'at. O ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. These supplications should be memorized, and they are supplications that should be recited every single day, as frequent as possible. Naam, I heard that. Allahu musta'an. But these are important supplications that are mentioned here, and a person needs to memorize them. Even if a person didn't memorize them in Arabic, so what? Allah understands. Yani, memorize it in English until you are able to memorize it in Arabic. But these are supplications that we should be saying with consciousness of the magnitude of the affair. That if Allah doesn't make us firm, then we're in trouble. We're headed for destruction. The Shaykh, he says here, yani after mentioning the authentic narrations concerning a person yani being a Muslim in the morning and a kafir at night and so on, he says, the fitna, the trials and tribulations, when they came, a person must ask Allah for al-thabat, to be firm, to be steadfast, as mentioned in these supplications. وَلَا يَقُولُ أَنَا لَسْتُ عَلَى خَطَرٍ. And he should not say, I'm not in danger. And I'm safe. I'm a person who knows, and I'm praying. Yeah, you're a person who knows. This is the Shaykh, I'm just saying it. And you are, yes, أَنْتَ عَارِفٌ. What to suddenly? You're a person who knows, you have knowledge of aqidah and all of this, and you're a person who's praying and all of that. Walhamdulillah, lakin alayka khata, but you are still in danger. It is upon you to fear. Anta afdal am Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Are you better or Ibrahim alayhi salam? Ibrahim alayhi salam is reported that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that he said, wajunubni wa baniya na'bud al asnam. O Allah, distance me and my offspring from worshipping idols. Ibrahim, Surah Ibrahim, 14th Surah, 35th Ayat, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim, khafa ala nafsihi min ibadat al-aslam. He feared for himself the possibility, the realistic possibility, that he could fall into the worship of idols. Even though he's the one who broke the idols and smashed them with his own hands. But he didn't delude himself into believing that he's in control of his own heart. Rather, Allah is in control of the hearts. And due to him breaking those idols, he met with punishment and insult and abuse from the pagans in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In spite of this, he was saying, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ نَعْبُدُ الْأَسْنَامِ. Distance me and my offspring from worshipping idols. And he didn't say, I have been saved. But rather he asked Allah to distance him and his offspring from worshipping the idols. So the human being should always fear from his Rabb. How many of the people were rightly guided and went astray in real life? Unless you, yani, a child, just came into this world. If you've been a Muslim for a little while, you've seen some of the people who were rightly guided, who were upon the Sunnah, and they have gone astray. He said, how many people were rightly guided and they gone astray? How many people were upright and then they deviated? How many of the people were believers and then they disbelieved or apostated? And how many of the people, on the other hand, were astray and Allah guided them? And how many people were kafirs and they entered into Islam? فَالْأَمْرُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So the affair is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person has to realize that. And as the scholars of the Sunnah, many of them have mentioned this fact, and that is that every good that there is in the hands of Allah, and there's no way to get it except for asking Him, except to ask Him. Allah keep our hearts firm, and this is a benefit. I'll close with this point because I know it's past the time right now. I'll just close with this point that Sheikh Khalid Abdullah, one of the students of Sheikh bin Baz was a very nice, little bit more lengthy little commentary on Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah. He mentions here at this place of Al-Imam Tahawi making dua, asking Allah for al-thabat. He said al-thabat will occur, will happen. It will be when the foot or the feet of the person is steady upon that which came in the book and the sunnah. Yani, we ask for al-thabat, but al-thabat requires that a person do something. So what is it that along with asking Allah for al-thabat, what does the person do? And the Prophet wasallam in the famous hadith that is also from those supplications that everybody should memorize, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa a'udhu bika min an-nar. Oh Allah, I ask you for jannah and I seek refuge in you from hellfire. In another narration, the Prophet wasallam said, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin aw amalin. I ask you for jannah and I also ask you for the, what are the deeds that I need to be doing? What is the speech that I need to be saying that brings me near to the jannah? And here the Shaykh is saying that asking for al-thabat is one thing, but a person will not be firm and steadfast upon Islam except that their feet are firmly established upon that which came in the book and in the sunnah. Adhering strictly to what the Prophet ﷺ left behind as the path to salvation. And he mentioned the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their various narrations. This narration came in Sahih Muslim. He said, "Taraktu fikum ma in tamassaktum bihi lan tadullu ba'di abadan." Kitabullah. That I have left behind amongst you. I have left amongst you that which, if you hold fast to it, if you cling to it, you will never go astray after me. And that is the Book of Allah. And in some of the narrations, said the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the point here is, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us in clear language, what is it that you have to do in order to not go astray, to remain firm upon the path, and that is to cling to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that we do it in accordance with the authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah, out of His generosity and His kindness, that He recognize, record and reward all of our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat upon as-sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah to grant speedy and complete recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make their graves spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and to save them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims in Gaza and in every place else in the Muslim lands, in Yemen and in Sudan and in Syria and Afghanistan, in India and China and Burma, and in every place where the Muslims are being tortured, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them relief. And indeed, yani Allah alone is the one from whom help is sought. Allahu musta'an. Allah alone is the one from whom help is sought. And seeking it from anyone else is a waste of time. And we have to know that Allah is the one who's in control of every affair. We have to turn to Allah, ask Allah, have trust in Allah, and depend upon Him alone. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.